Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is returning soon. His return is very soon. And it's amazing the time and day that we live in. We're going to see his soon return, I believe. According to what the Lord's been telling me, his return is soon. And it's time now to go forward. I don't know how much time we have left, but I know what the Lord can do with a small amount. The way we see ourselves affects the way we judge things in our lives. Some people feel like, well, nothing big has ever happened, and they don't expect things that are greater to happen in their lives. They just, you know, settle for a little bit and go forward. Now, yesterday I mentioned something about the power that works in us. And that's the strength of how our faith works. Our faith works according to the power that works in us. And the Lord said that it's the sum of what you believe. S-U-M. As in a math equation, you know, 6 plus 5 equals 11. 11 would be the sum. Well, the sum of what you believe is all the parts of God's word that you've received in your heart. You believe it. It's in there. It's faith now. Because you believe it. Believing is faith. So you've received God's word, and now you believe it in your heart. It's faith ready to be spoken. Faith is power. And once you speak it, you release it. And once you release it, heaven responds. You've spoken something in the earth. You put a demand on one of God's promises, which is grace to you. All of God's promises is grace. You know, the grace of God includes all of his promises. So his grace is very sufficient. I put it this way. We talked about Paul's thorn in the flesh. Paul wanted God to remove it. Which it was a messenger of Satan, of course. And he wanted God to do something about it. The Lord could have said, my word is sufficient for you. Because the word of God is included in the grace of God. And Jesus had already spoken that we have power over all, we have authority over all the power of Satan, all the way down to serpents and scorpions. If we have power over Satan, that's where we start, at the top. He's at the top of his bottom side world. We have authority over him. Every rank of demon. And all the works that he do in men, all the way down to serpents and scorpions. Now, what we don't have authority over is the will of man. And the Lord taught me this little secret, which it shouldn't be a secret, but it is in many cases. He said, when you remove Satan, men are not that hard to deal with. Satan stirred people up just like Jezebel stirred up Ahab. Satan stirred up men just like Jezebel stirred up Ahab. Ahab would have did some pretty decent things, but he had that wicked wife of his. And his focus was on her. And she was just a problem child. So she stirred him up and he'd do something stupid and evil. Well, so it is with Satan. He gives people perceptions. And he drives them to act on it. And this kind of persuasion is not easy for Satan. It's hard for him to get people to kill and rob and do things that they shouldn't do. People know it's wrong. And they have to override. They have to harden their hearts. When you remove Satan, you remove their drive. And then they can think and reason again. A lot of people are sitting in jail wondering how in the world did they do such a hideous crime. And they think about the way they were raised and the way they were taught. They think about how they were persuaded by good teachers, good role models. And then they feel hypocritical, they feel evil. Some of them are glad they locked up because they don't even trust that they can do right. But nobody was around to remove the drive of Satan in that moment of anger or that moment of weakness. And some of them, they were pretty decent people till they got very angry. One incident, one day. And they acted on the influence that they didn't understand good. See, many people, they discount God and they discount Satan. And if you don't believe that there's a devil, you don't believe that he'll influence you. And when you feel that Tabasco sauce rising in your heart, that anger, you don't know what, you're not reasonable. Or people are not reasonable when they're angry. Or when they're after something, they focus on something wrong. They become sneaky. And the devil's involved. They become fearful. And demons drive men that are weak, or that are hurt, or that are fearful. So when people are capable of making good decisions or bad decisions, and the enemy set them up and corralled them into doing something. So you can get rid of, you have authority to stop the works of darkness. Now the years that I was living in the Woodlawn, Kingston area, and I heard the tapes of Kenneth Hagin in the early, late 80s, early 90s, I learned to, I learned that I had great authority over Satan. I knew I had authority over Satan, but I didn't know it was unlimited. And when the gunfights would break out, I would say, "Satan, you can't kill anybody, you can't hurt anybody in Jesus' name." And every time I did that, nobody got killed. Now they shot their guns. Sometimes they shot so they ran out of bullets, but nobody got hurt. And then I got used to it. I got used to operating in authority. It got easier for me. I believed it. And the Lord, you know, Kenneth Hagin talked about authority, and then the Lord also, that's when he told me about the, before all this started, he told me that Satan's not hard to deal with men are not hard to deal with when you remove Satan. Now, you don't have authority over men. You have authority over the power of darkness. So people who side with him, you can interrupt the drive on their life. You can even cast Satan out of their life. But if you have to cast a demon out, do it at the guidance of God. Paul cast the devil out of that damsel. That was his thorn in the flesh. So you can do the same thing because of grace. All of that is included in grace. So God could have said, "My word is sufficient for you." But the word of God is a grace to us. It's a gift so that we can use so that our lives will be right. He wants our life to be like his. Our mandate is to cause it to be on earth as it is in heaven. We bring the standards of heaven here as we walk in the light of God's word. So we are powerful in Christ. That's why I say in these last moments that we have, the way to make it count is to draw near to the Lord now. Draw near to him now and allow him to operate in your life. Yield to him. Receive his word. Confess his word. I love to confess that I'll do all that's in his heart. so that when the Lord give me something to do, I'll jump on it. I won't be fearful. I'll have the courage I need. I'll be able to move as He moves. I won't delay. Cause when you speak something, you're confessing something, you're setting something. It's just like men that operate machinery, they set the gauge to how they want their machine to perform. Well, you have to do the same thing with life. Your tongue is the rudder of your life, just like a rudder to a ship. Whatever you say, that's how your life is going to turn out. The way your life is now is according to what you've been saying all along. Now, the strength of your faith, your ability to operate in faith, the power that works in you is everything you believe of God's word. All of your faith, even the things you don't believe, and your doubts. You sum it all up, and that's the strength of your faith. Now, you can't have doubt in your heart and your faith work, but don't be afraid. Speak the word of God and only the word of God. And let your opinions be shaped by the word of God. Don't let the word of God be shaped or clouded by your opinions. Some people have faith in God's word, but their opinions may either contradict or reduce the meaning of God's word in their eyes. So when they speak the word, they speak it a little bit. They only expect, some people have been wounded in life, or they've never gone forward like they desire to, and like God desire them to. So they only receive a little. And even those of a good heart, Jesus said, Psalm 60, Psalm 30, Psalm 60, and Psalm 100. 30-fold is better than nothing. Sometimes that's all you need to get a job done. 34 fruit. But there's no limit. We can do whatever we need to do in life. We have the grace. Even this, the word of God, if you're not as strong in faith as you desire to be, that's not a problem. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. If He'll guide you into all truth, He can show you what part of God's word to study so that whatever you've received already will be enhanced. He can show you, that's what He do for me. He prescribes scriptures for me every day. And I listen to the word as I work. And most nights before I go to bed, I ask Him, is there anything He want to say? Any scripture He want me to pay attention to? And then I just take some time and look at the word to see something. He may give me a chapter I've already read many times, but the Holy Spirit will alert me to a fact within that chapter. Or chapters. And then I might go to sleep asking questions. And he may alert me to something. You know, He did it last night. And then I ponder on why He did it, on what was said and how He handled it in the Word of God, the situation. Messages come that way. New teaching come that way. And everything you learn from the Lord works together for you to operate in faith in greater ways. Remember, the more you learn, take time and learn, the more you're giving the Holy Spirit. You're yielding to the Lord. You're drawing near. If every time you study the Word of God in faith, you are drawing near to Him. It's no different than you going in His presence worshiping Him. We need to do both. Now, worshiping God is like drinking water. Reading the word is like eating food. So what if there's both? That's good. When we receive from the Lord, that's where our faith comes from. Opinions cause people to rebut God's word. They, you know, like old Billy Goat, they butt heads instead of receiving the word that's going to bless you. Now, every time you receive the word, the power that works in you grows and sometimes multiplies, because the things of God, the knowledge and wisdom, is multiplied to us. He wants us to be able to make heaven like earth so much that he multiplies the things that cause us to grow in the first place. And that always needs to be first. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. All right, now if the things are added and then you were taught by God, if the things will multiply, whatever you desire and want, it's multiplying your life, but the knowledge of God is added to your life, you wouldn't get very far. Because the things that you love, that you seek after, they'll become primary to you. And your focus will be off. And you won't be motivated to grow. It's kind of like a child with rich parents. They gave him everything that they wanted, and they didn't have to work for it, so they can't value it. It's not possible for them to value what they have until they go out and work for it. Now, some parents have given children cars, and they don't have to take care of it. But when they finally get to a situation they have to go pay for their own car, they'll take care of that because they bought it. It was their blood, sweat, and tears. People can't value what they don't work for. And the Lord knows this. I know it. It takes a very wise person to value something that was given to them. My daddy gave me a car. I didn't do any work for it. But I appreciate it. It wasn't the kind of car I wanted. I wanted a Charger. He brought me a Ford Maverick. But it was in good shape. And I knew that it would get me through school and help me get started in life. So I took care of it. And that's just wisdom. I knew it took a long time to pay for a car like that. And I didn't make much money then, so I appreciate it. Years later, my sister gave me a car. She bought a new car and gave me a car. And she had wrecked it, and I fixed it up, and I drove it for years. It was good on gas. It was a good car. Went out of town in it, everything. And I appreciated it. So when you do things, people can appreciate things, but I learned the value of it because I bought other things. I know what it's like to work. But people that are given everything, they can't value it like the person they work for. It's almost impossible unless they got a strong imagination. You have to be at a place 8 hours every day doing work all day. And then, I'm going to take care of this vehicle. So it is with God's word. But when we receive his wisdom, we receive his wisdom more than the things we receive. Our focus will be on the Lord, or it's more apt to be focused, be on the Lord, like it's supposed to be. See, it's good for us. It's beneficial for us to focus on the Lord, because everything is enhanced. He will show you how to appreciate, how to enjoy the blessings you already have. And he'll show you how to enjoy the day. Some people have more than I do, but they can't enjoy that day. Some people have less than I do, and they enjoy that day even better. Whoever draw near to the Lord, they can enjoy time. Now, yesterday I talked about the duration. When you first believe God for something, and it takes time for it to form. It may be an object, like a car, house, truck, van, anything like that. Or it can be a situation, a better job, or peace, or better relationships on the job. It may be better relationships in your home. We believe God for all kind of things. But until it forms out, you stay in faith in the duration. Even though things are not positive yet, you can have the joy of God inside the duration before your faith is finished. Your faith is on and things are forming. You know, a wife may start, she may start believing for a stronger house, a stronger home, the people in the house. And her husband may stop drinking the first month. And then he might start going to church on the second or third month. You know, it's working. Her faith is on. She's speaking kind words. She's operating according to 1 Peter chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Because 1 Peter should be one chapter. And she's strengthened by 2 Peter chapter 1. And she's steadily believing God for her home, for better relationships with her husband and her children. And the Lord has given her steady wisdom. This is her duration. It's not finished yet. Her husband's doing better and better. He stopped hanging with the wrong people. Because wives are good at detecting people that ain't good for you to be around. Then he stopped drinking. And then he started working. He was able to hold a job because he stopped drinking. And then he's motivated to go to church. And now he's growing. And then he starts to grow in the Lord. Then he starts getting promoted and buying better things and doing things with the children. He's involved now. So her joy is increasing in her duration because she's working the Word of God. She's not just sitting by complaining. There's no comfort in complaining. There's no comfort, there's no joy, there's no success in complaining about what's wrong. Everybody can see what's wrong. Big deal. What are you going to do to change the problem? What are you going to do to change the facts in life? Now, the facts were he had bad company. He couldn't hold a job because he drank too much. And his children were going without, and she had to work two jobs because it started out terrible. But she started working the Word of God, and the Lord started showing her what she can do to help him. Instead of getting a divorce and giving up on what could be. Now, as she goes forward, this hypothetical woman, which women do this, there are people out here who are actually doing these things. Because this is what God has given me to minister sometime on the radio. But as things get better and better, her duration is causing her family to be stronger and stronger. And eventually, they become a family that nobody will ever believe that they had the problems they started with. Their faith will be finished in that area, and they'll pick up and they'll grow in another area. And so on and so on. There's no limits to what you can accomplish. You know, in 10 years, he might start his own company, his own business. And it becomes successful. And one day they'll remember the house they started in. And they bought better houses and they've helped people along the way. This is how it's supposed to be. There's no limits with God. But complaining erases God out of the picture of your life, in your eyes. That's what complaining will do. It erases God and all of his power and all of his grace and everything that he does to help us. That's what complaining do in everybody who complains. They're speaking things. So complaining works to erase God and magnify your problems and troubles. But the word of God brings healing. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.